This is Brandywine Valley Speaks. I'm Lloyd Roach, and with us today are three members of Al-Anon in the Brandywine Valley, Jean, Susan, and Therese. And we've been talking about the disease of alcoholism and how it affects family members, and that's what Al-Anon is all about. Does Al-Anon help parents whose children have a drinking problem, or is it just other people in the family, and how does it work that way?
Well, I can speak to that. I have four children, four boys. Two of which are addicted to alcohol and drugs. And it started very early in their lives, and I had no idea. I didn't know what alcoholism was until I came into Al-Anon. I mean, I knew it was not normal, but my mother kept the whole family kind of normal for us. But as the kids got older, I realized that there was, anger issues and problems with drugs. But I was at that time divorced and had two jobs, and I had somebody to watch the kids during the day, and all hell broke loose when I would leave.
That's what happens. All hell does break loose.
It does.
I don't know of any other way to describe it.
And unfortunately, my oldest son ended up in jail. He's still in jail. And my youngest son has just celebrated 3 years sober in the program of Al-Anon.
That's wonderful. Yeah, well, it's obvious the positive effects that come. But when people join, are they hesitant? Do they just like march right in, or do they have to be dragged in? Or Jean, you're chuckling.
Well, march might be an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Sometimes you stand outside the door for two or three meetings before you get up enough courage to come in because of that isolation feeling. And
you think you're the only one.
You think you're the only one, yeah. And there's still, you know, even though there's a lot more present, there's still a lot of stigmatism about, you know, drug addiction or alcohol addiction.
Right.
But I came through the doors very shakily. I wasn't even sure that I was in the right place because no one ever said, you know, your husband's an alcoholic. I just took a guess, and I had nowhere else to go. I didn't know what else to do. So I thought, well, maybe he's an alcoholic and maybe this will help.
Right. I mean, I know an AA means to get up and say, I'm Bob and I'm an alcoholic, you know, and then you go over and they have this 55-gallon drum of coffee, you know, which is what every AA meeting has. So I'm assuming that the culture is kind of similar.
Mm-hmm. The culture is similar. We don't obviously sit up
right.
and say, hey, I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, right.
And we don't necessarily identify the alcoholic. We just say we know someone with a drinking problem, I think. That's what I wasn't even sure. But when I started hearing other people share about their experiences, I said, aha, this is what I'm living through.
And not only that, but I think a lot of people will say, well, that's Bob, but that's not me. We're actually okay.
Exactly.
We're fine. We're actually managing all this. You're shaking your head. Yes? I mean,
yes. This is, Therese, in my family, that's how I felt. I thought alcoholics were Skid Row bums, and there was no connection to my family whatsoever. I was pretty much, it was highly suggested that I start an Al-Anon program. Mostly, I was the one who was angry, and it was very visual. And a lot of the relationships in my life were just struggling. And mostly because I had been affected by not only the disease within my family, but I had been married to someone whose drinking affected me. Mm. So I had, for many years, not resolved a lot of those issues that I guess I picked up along the way.
Before the break, I'd mentioned that there used to be this organization up in Montgomery County called Chit Chat Farm, and it was a place where people went to detoxify themselves, essentially, before they had all these medical programs they have today. Is there such a place where Al-Anon members can go to kind of get away from this for a while, or do you just do it with the meetings?
I don't know of any. I mean, we have the meetings all over. They're actually all over the world.
Right.
But we have seminars, and sometimes there'll be more than a one-day seminar or workshop or things like that. But I don't know of any particular location.
So you use the meetings in that way, I understand. Well, Al-Anon, tell me how to get my loved one sober. Does it help you?
No.
Sober?
No. It's not about getting your loved one sober. It's about keeping you sane.
Yeah.
And it's for us. It's for the people, the family and friends of alcoholics. And we learn how to do that by listening to the experiences of others. And we keep coming back to hear the message. And it is one of letting go and letting God and not trying to control that alcoholic. And I know there are people that live comfortably with their alcoholic today because of Al-Anon. And, you know, we're taught little things like, you know, if you get out of control and, you know, you can't deal with it, just get in your car and go for a ride. You know, I mean, you don't have to take it. You don't have to be there. And we love our alcoholics. They keep life interesting. And for a lot of us, they get sober. And for a lot of us, they don't.
We're speaking to Jean, Susan, and Therese of Al-Anon. That was just Susan you just heard. Many years ago, when I was on the road, I was in a 747 airplane. And I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, but they're gigantic four-engine Boeing aircraft. And they have two decks, one below and one above. And the one above is a bar. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yep.
And for long flights, usually from, you know, Philadelphia to Los Angeles or something. And I was on my way to San Francisco in this airplane. And over the PA system, this stewardess comes on and says, All friends of BW, Bill W., meet in the bar. And I went, this is really funny. This is really hysterical. You know, the friends of Bill W. are going to meet in the bar on the second deck of the 747. So my question is, are there any secret codes that you folks use in Al-Anon like that? Bill W., of course, was the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. So anything that you have, like little secret handshakes or anything like that, right? when you go to a meeting?
Coming back.
Slogans?
What I meant was when you walk into a meeting, for example, in Harrisburg, and you're from this area, is there any commonality of the meetings between the one there and the one here, for example?
There are commonality, because we base them on the same 12 steps and same 12 traditions throughout the whole organization. So if you're following the steps and the traditions, there is a commonality. There's small differences, but there is. Basically, you'll recognize an Al-Anon meeting pretty much wherever you go. It's easy to pick out someone who's been to meetings, though, because we're just kind of laughing about this, because of some of the slogans or some of the phrases that they use. And they're just kind of things that you hear in the meeting, like let go and let God. And friends of Bill W., we hear that a lot, too. And if you hear people say that, you kind of go, I think they've been to a 12-step program.
Right. Yeah. And that's probably helpful, kind of include you.
Yes.
Makes you feel like a little more comfortable, I would guess.
Definitely.
I mean, it does to me, and I've been away from this for ages, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I still relate to all those people in that community because of the horrendous experience we had in our own family. So I completely understand that. Let me ask you something about the children. How are they affected by this disease? I mean, what's the slam in the face of, you know, how's it really get them? Is it?
Well, for the children that are not alcoholics.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It affects them the same way that I think as it affected me. And I have two sons that are not affected by this disease. And there's a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they have Alateen at an early age, which I wasn't even in Al-Anon.
Right.
They don't know where to go with that. And I remember speaking to my son one day, and he was outside fixing a screen. He was beating it. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, I'm angry. I'm angry at Dad. And I said, well, maybe it's time for a meeting. And he said, oh, get lost, Mom. I'm not going to any meeting. So what I did was I took every book I had of Al-Anon, and I put it in a brown paper bag, and I put it on his front step. And we've never spoken about it. But he told me I'm reading those books. And there is a real difference.
And that's just a little thing.
Yeah.
Therese, you probably have several times when that's happened, just little stuff.
Yeah. Like Susan said, myself, I just was very angry. I see when the younger members come in or new Al-Anon members come in, they have a lot of anger. Sometimes they're very quiet because of the isolation. They're just afraid to share. We don't pressure them into sharing at the meetings. It's up to you when you feel comfortable enough. And oftentimes, once they come to a couple meetings, they start to feel pretty comfortable that we mean what we say. There's that anonymity here. It's a safe place to share.
Mm-hmm. Does it cost anything to join Al-Anon?
No. It's the cheapest recovery around.
You meet in churches and places like that?
Yep, and rooms and And if somebody wants to donate, they can donate something. But really, it's for us, and it helps more than a psychiatrist, because I've been there. So it really does.
And it's this genius that came up with this idea many years ago, that if you get people with similar experiences together and get them to share their experiences with each other, of course, that is the therapy itself.
Yeah.
And that's the genius of it all, isn't it? Yes.
That is sharing with like experiences with like people. Yeah.
And removes the isolations, because
the isolation,
I think you really do. Well, in anything in life, if you have something you're going through that's bad, you think you're the only one in the world that does.
Yeah.
We can even say that about our current recession. Many people are sitting at home thinking, I'm the only guy over 60 that can't find a job. Well, you could have the biggest meeting in the Delaware Valley with that crowd.
That's right.
So, you know, that's what this does.
And, you know, you're talking about the kids. That's one of the big issues with the children, too, because of their isolation, is that they think they're the only one. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of self-esteem issues and a lot of anger issues, and that gets acted out unless they can find a venue for it to recognize what's going on emotionally, because they don't recognize that. They just act it out.
Are there Alateen chapters in schools?
Not in schools that I know of, at least in this area.
Right.
They did have one
at one time.
Is that a place that you would have an Alateen meeting?
It could be.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be. Sometimes there's issue. You got to work that out with a particular school.
Right.
And the other question was, would a child go to an Alateen meeting at school if all the other kids saw them go?
Right, because they get back to the anonymity issue.
Yeah, it's a difficult
situation,
you know.
Sure.
And so they are allowed to come to Al-Anon meetings, though.
Why the anonymity? What's the reason
Makes
for that?
Makes it a safe place because of that isolation, that shame, that guilt about this going on within their family or within close friends or whatever. The anonymity protects them and keeps them feeling safe.
So they're going to get in the front page of the newspaper saying you attended an Alateen meeting
There's still a lot of social backlash, too.
And probably will be, like any other human failing, everyone has a kind of an axe to grind about the other guy, when oftentimes they are the other guy. But, you know, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what do we do? How do we get more information about this? I'm sure people are listening to us going, that's me, too. Or maybe it isn't me. Maybe it's a member of my family. I'm fine. It's that it's my brother and sister, the ones that are messed up. I'm just fine. Thank you very much. where would they learn more about you? Is there a place they can call? Is there a number? Is there a website? Is there some place they can?
We do have a website.
Yeah.
You have that on there?
We have several.
Okay. Well, what's the one locally you think they might want to?
It would be the www.al-anon.org.
Okay, I'm going to repeat that. It's al-anon.alateen.org.
Al-Anon.
And they have the website, and you can just Google that. I'm sure that'll come right up, and they'll tell you where maybe your local group is. You can get a hold of one of these fine ladies.
And there's a phone number, 610-696-4216.
Yeah, that's the Chester County hotline, Al-Anon hotline, if you will.
Can you call that number if you really need them?
Yes, you call the number, you can leave a message. That's how I first found the meeting to go to, was by calling that number, Someone will call you back.
Also, I'd like to mention there's another web address. It's www.aisdv.org, and that's information of Delaware Valley. It's now an information of Delaware Valley. So that includes Philadelphia, Delaware County, Chester County, Bucks County. That's a great website as well.
There's also a number that you can call. We take turns on the phones where people can call in and share their experience, and we can somehow direct them to a meeting.
Yeah. That was the phone number that we gave.
We gave.
Thank you. And Jean, Susan, and Teresa, I want to thank you very much for coming here. It's been quite an eye-opener, and to listen to you and to hear what you folks are doing, I wish you the best in your continued effort to kill this thing. I hope that you succeed in helping other families reach some peace like you have, and I think it's wonderful what you're doing. And I want to thank you very much for being on our show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Lloyd Roach.